This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Christine Wong and I'm joined by
Lily Chai.
And today we're talking about the things you may not want to know about startups. The struggles that come along with starting new ventures and businesses often go undiscussed. So what should you actually be preparing for when embarking on the path of entrepreneurship? If you would like to be part of this conversation, of course, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And we do have a guest in the studio who will be joining us later to talk a little bit about her experience. Yap Soo Yi, serial entrepreneur and founder and CEO of Community Tukang Jahit, will be here to share the truths behind founding startups and discussing, you know, how to overcome entrepreneurial challenges, right? So the journey of getting a startup or business off the ground is often a very long and hard and winding road. And there are many realities that entrepreneurs have to face when they take this first step towards starting a business. According to an article on Entrepreneur, while the idea is key in getting a startup to flourish, a lot of the success rate boils down to the execution level as well. And it's also worth remembering that ideas can be duplicated, but actual groundwork is something that needs actual planning and effort as well. So the moment a foundation for the startup is put down, resilience, patience, and hard work needs to be put in to ensure the best chances for a business to grow.
And there also needs to be an aspect of managing expectations, as many startups strive for a degree of perfection that is often unachievable. And too much attention being spent on being perfect can eat away time and resources that are two very important and valuable assets for entrepreneurs just starting on their new venture. And there is a need to be resourceful rather than to be reliant on resources. So some of the more common and dangerous challenges facing startup founders are, the first one is finding a real problem to solve. The first and most important challenge facing every startup founder is finding a real market need. So working on something that nobody cares about is actually one of the biggest and the most common problem that a mistake that startups make, and it can bleed both precious time and money and also commodities, and these two commodities are precious to startups.
Yeah. And the second thing is, you know, now that a problem has been found, you need to craft a solution around the problem that works for customers. Most entrepreneurs find that creating a solution can be just as challenging as identifying a problem at hand, and the proposed solution also needs to be validated before investing a substantial amount of time or money. Running pre-sales, which is kind of like a sneak peek of a product launch, can help to provide a gauge on market validation. And if a product does not receive the amount of market acceptance hoped for it, it is also easier and more cost-effective to make the necessary changes at that stage.
Right. We always often talk about R&D and like pilot testing your products before launching it.
Ask people what they want before you give it to them.
Right. Right. And the third mistake is getting the needed funding without losing product focus. So identifying the problem and establishing the solution around the problem can be done cheaply. It doesn't have to be costly. But once you start building the product and scaling the business, another challenge will come around in the form of funding or capital. And these days, there are just so many ways to acquire funding in the form of equity crowdfunding, bank loans, angel investors, and so many more out there. But what many startups realize during this stage is that they need to actively seek funding while continuing to run and grow the business. So investors will not be attracted to a startup if there is no tangible progress shown in the business. So most investors will only jump in only if they know effort is being made to make the startup a viable proposition.
And then once you're there, of course, you know, no man is an island, right? You need to be able to hire the right talent and build the right business culture. And it's important to attract the right people with the right mindset as well, as they can often make or break a startup. Now, a common mistake made during the hiring phase is to hire too many people too fast. And this can eat into overheads, which will affect the startup's ability to invest into growth. So according to Forbes, leaders and entrepreneurs should adopt the motto of hire slow, fire fast, more so in a startup setting. Terrifying for us who are employed by a startup. But anyways, in the early stages, the team is considered the greatest asset of the company. So finding the right first hires, at least, can work as a catalyst or a seed that allows for this more productive work culture to flourish. Bad early hires can induce bad culture, which will fester when the business grows and the team expands.
And the last thing that most entrepreneurs neglect is actually balancing work and life. We did have a lot of conversations about your burnout and not having enough sleep, being sleep deprived. Now, one of the biggest challenges is that when it comes to running a startup is actually finding the time and energy for personal life. So many entrepreneurs neglect this aspect, or they want to do it, but they just don't have the time to. And dive right into working as much as they can in hopes of chasing a big break. Now, while there is a strong correlation between the hours worked and the revenue growth, there needs to be an emphasis on physical and mental well-being to balance the mind. And it also helps to think of the startup or venture as a marathon, not a sprint. And a good work-life balance can actually help you go the distance.
Yeah, because if you're not around to run the company, the company's not going to run. So what are some simple pointers that businesses or startups could follow to kind of increase your chances of not only making it, but sustaining it, you know? First of all, you need to set some goals, right? Knowing exactly where you need to be and where you want to be is important to establish the objective of what needs to be achieved. And of course, you know, to also be flexible with that. I think as we've all seen over the past few years, your goals are allowed to change. You also need to conduct research, right? Like we, you know, you mentioned earlier, Lily, doing R&D, get to know the market, know what the customer wants, know what the target market is. The more you know, the easier it is to sell your product or tailor your offerings.
Right, and being invested in your work as well. If you don't love what you do, what's the point, right? And it will just be a job at the end of the day. There needs to be that fire, that passion. Although it does like burn out a little bit.
You need to find a balance, right? You need to have that spark that drives you to genuinely be invested in what you're doing.
Correct. And the last one is don't quit that easily yet. There will be periods when entrepreneurs do question their decisions of starting a business, but this is the time to put in extra effort and, you know, maybe push forward a little bit more and, you know, try a little bit harder.
Yeah. So for those of our listeners who are, you know, entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs or someone who's just started, you know, do share your thoughts, your experience with us. We, of course, do have a guest that you can even ask about her experience in entrepreneurship as well, coming up shortly. Yap Su Yi, serial entrepreneur, founder and CEO of Community Tukang Jahit. And also, if anyone out there has advice they'd like to share for people who are just starting out on their entrepreneurship journey, you can ask us questions, you can give advice, you can talk to us about all of this and more if you reach us on Twitter at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. But we do have to take a short break for some messages. So we have Don't Stop Believing by Journey here on BFM 89.9.
Bias-free media. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're tuned in to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong and I'm joined by
Lily Chai.
And we have Yap Su Yi, serial entrepreneur, founder and CEO of Community Tukang Jahit, here to help us understand the challenges of being an entrepreneur. Now, if you also want to take part in the conversation, listeners, you can absolutely do so. We're on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or Twitter at BFM Radio. Hello to you!
Hi, good afternoon everyone. Thanks for having me here.
And thank you for joining us in the studio. I think let's just get straight into it and why you're here. In a recent article in The Star, you described a startup as a responsibility, right? Like, talk to us about your journey and how you came to that conclusion.
I guess at different stages of running a startup, especially in the beginning, the responsibility really lies, you know, towards ourselves. Like, what do we want to do with our lives? How long do we tend to see this for? And then in the end, it goes to our parents. Like, I suddenly have this really heavy responsibility. Like, okay, I owe it back to my parents. Mm-hmm. What becomes of me later on is their worry as well. And then, you know, towards the later stage of the startup, then the responsibility lies, you know, how do I sustain my team? And then how do I, then because I'm running a social enterprise, I have a group of about 40 to 50 beneficiaries, B40 ladies that work with us. So then the responsibility of then sustaining becomes even heavier because I have this group of ladies that I wish to continuously, you know, empower and provide upskilling and also, you know, source of income. So yeah. I think the responsibility comes when people don't know that running a startup is not just, you know, we're answerable to ourselves, but it's all about the people that carry along, you know, this dream with us.
Yeah. 100%, 100%.
So mistakes are very unavoidable things when it comes to, you know, the learning process of being an entrepreneur and starting up the business. So what are some common mistakes that you see startups make when they're just starting out? And what were the mistakes that you made as well?
So I really enjoy this topic personally because there's people coming forward, you know, asking me like, you know, I really want to start a startup. What should I do next? And things like that. And I mean, it's very bitter to just say straight away, like, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
But if I could actually paint a realistic picture, it's quite difficult for a one-liner or for a quick one-hour sit-down. There's so many mistakes and so many challenges that a startup face that it can't be really put down on paper immediately. It's the experiences that we face years after years.
Mm.
So I think one of the general mistakes that is common that I hear is that, you know, I'm going to be the next Facebook or I'm going to be the next Shopee because I'm building, like, you know, this great market space and, oh, I just have one extra feature that probably Shopee or Facebook doesn't have and that's going to make me rich.
I mean, there's the saying of like comparison is the thief of joy, right? You know, you don't want to hold yourself to those standards and you want to become your own thing. You don't want to necessarily like lead someone else's journey in a way, right?
Correct. So I guess that's what we tell ourselves as lies, I would say. I mean, till someone comes around, for me, in my sense, I was quite lucky. I had a lot of mentors around me, my dad, my work dad, who is now also my partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they give you the realistic part, you know, where only then, if you're lucky enough to find mentors like that, is there where you wake up. Because if not, you're just going to be, you know, digging deeper into this hole where you tell yourself things are always going to get better and you're going to make your millions. But yes, if you probably keep persevering, but not on the wrong idea.
I would also argue as well that another mistake maybe that people who are interested in creating startups make is not having that community and mentors and, you know, asking people for help. I think, you know, when you think of like entrepreneurship, it feels like such a solitary endeavor. And it, like you said, it's not 100%. And learning from other people is the best way to avoid their mistakes.
That's exactly it. And I'm quite glad that, you know, for the article that you read, is actually that Taylor's was doing this thing whereby, you know, they invited us to actually mentor the students.
Mm.
And I look back then, how I wish I had that. I have easily wasted maybe 1 or 2 years finding out, you know, when I was just joining the startup world at 19. I had no clue what's going on. I just know I had to network and create a deck.
What does that mean?
I kept doing that for years and I kept going in circles till, you know, I met the right mentors. And then they were saying like, look, you're wasting your time. Don't just look at your deck. Find your first 100 customers and tell me you can sell.
So, I mean, on that note, right, now that you've had this experience, what are some key considerations for people who are working on a startup idea? You know, they haven't quite taken the leap yet, but they're working on that. What do you think?
Okay, there's this very general, simple format that people follow. They call it the BMC, which is the Business Model Canvas.
Mm-hmm.
It's something very simple. You can YouTube it, Google it. It even gives you many samples of the biggest companies that you can find. So what it gives you is this A4 paper that gives you 9 blocks to tell you directly in your face, does your business sustain?
Mm.
So it's a very simple thing where you fill up, okay, what's your market product? Who am I selling it for? How am I going to do it? So then if you see that you don't really have a solid idea, you know, it kind of gives you that inkling something's missing.
What was it called again, this thing?
Business Model Canvas.
Business Model Canvas. Really interesting.
Right.
We do have a message in on WhatsApp, actually.
Right. It's from Danny. He said, as a startup coach, I have some advice for startup founders. The first one is MYOB, mind your own business. Don't be overly distracted with the many accelerator programs, networking opportunities, etc. Keep things moving, maintain the momentum. And the second one is to test your ideas before going full on, especially more significant ones like product launch, ad campaigns like that. This tend to be more important and needing more budget. And the third one is having a long-term goal and long-term objective in mind. It'll help to keep you on track in terms of your tactical short-term decisions.
What do you make of that?
It was elaboration of what I mentioned. It's very true because when I was spending time doing my deck and meeting people, there was no end goal.
Yeah.
Right? I was just told to do that, but I didn't know what was the end goal. Mm. So yes, it's true. It was a distraction. I guess the real growth I saw in my company was when I actually stopped doing that.
Right.
So I really just went to full focus on the business and actually, you know, finding a sustainable model.
I think a lot of it has to do with intention, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. You know, to go into it not just thinking, I just want to start a business. Like, that's not an intent. It's, you know, I want to solve a problem. I want to reach out to this community. I want to XYZ, right? That's, I think, the thing that will help you to focus up and will actually take your business to the next level, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will take another short little break for some messages and some music. Again, we do have Yap Soo Yi, serial entrepreneur and founder and CEO of Community Tukang Jahit. And again, if you want to share your thoughts like Dan did on WhatsApp, it's 018-789-8899. And we are also on Twitter at BFM Radio as well. But for now, here is I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Christine Wong and I'm joined by
Lily Chai.
And we also have Yap Su Yi, serial entrepreneur and founder and CEO of Community Tukang Jahit in the studio with us. Why? It's because we're talking about all the dirty little secrets entrepreneurs don't want you to know. And if you would like to get in touch with us and share your advice, share your thoughts on this conversation, we're on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and Twitter at BFM Radio as well. Now, before the break, we did talk a little bit about some like common startup mistakes that some people make when they're first starting out. They're not really sure what they're doing. But you've also, you know, we want to hear your experience, right? So tell us a little bit, you know, about maybe some of the challenges that you face in your various endeavors as well.
One of the biggest one, I think, till now that I remember so clearly is because, like, just a very quick example, challenges at the front of a startup means just at the beginning.
Right.
Simple, like, you know, challenges. Oh, I'm very stage fright. I can't do networking. I don't dare print my name card and pass it to people, right? So that's just the very basic. But the ones that the toughest challenge that I had to do was actually kill one of my business, which is like killing a baby, right? They say you call your business a baby. How are you going to like put an end to it? So I had to pivot because initially one of my startup was that I was a crowdfunding platform for fashion. I was there to empower aspiring fashion designers by creating their designs, bring it to life through a platform. Back then, 6-7 years ago, no one knew what crowdfunding was. Till now, probably even a small fraction only understands it or applies it in their daily lives. So that's where I told myself, like, I have to pivot, right? So I had a lot of, back then, quite some recognition, awards, came out in Vulcan Post, came out in TV stations as well. You know, that's that blinding, I don't know what you call it. You're going to kind of get blinded by it.
You have that, like, attention and it's very distracting.
Like if people are telling you your idea is good, it should be good, right? But guess what? The bank account's empty. Like the business isn't taking off. People aren't accepting it. They don't understand the platform. And then designers are not coming on board, no merchants on board and things like that. So something is wrong somewhere. So that's where, you know, you really have to go to your right mentors and that's where they slap you in the face. They tell you, like, you know what? These recognitions, these awards you bring home ain't going to feed you. So that's the way, you know, it really hits you.
100%. You know, I think that's a really interesting point that attention does not equal revenue. Yep. You know, that's why, you know, stuff like click-through rate on ads and stuff is really important. That's why you need to, what's the term? You need to transition, you know, those views and those likes and that engagement and the coverage into sales. Otherwise, what is the point?
Correct. So that's one of the biggest challenge was to pivot. And then from there, that's how actually through that pivoting process is that's where we actually founded KTG. Because so happened, if you understand the concept, you know, with the crowdfunding, I have to get tailors to sew these designs, right? But in the end, the designers weren't coming to me, but the tailors were. So that's where a gap that no one's actually fulfilling. There's these B40 ladies at home that couldn't sustain themselves and they rely on orders that we provide for them. So, you know, the pivot actually gave us an opportunity to actually establish a social enterprise.
Right. So just how important is the mindset or the mentality factor when it comes to founding startups?
There's this term that, you know, everyone wants to always ask, give us one word. One word. What would you say a startup should have? Like what kind of, you know,
sounds like an impossible task, honestly.
Right? And then everyone's probably giving creativity, perseverance, hardworking, but all that's a given. It kind of got already have that. But one of mine would be probably a very odd one would be flexible stubbornness.
Okay.
Oh, explain. That's something new.
So at some points you have to be stubborn and at some points you have to be flexible because there's many times that people tell me to quit.
Right.
That's where I got stubborn, right? And then when I really had to quit, I had to be flexible. So, I mean, there's no hard and fast rule. There's no formula. I guess sometimes you just have to measure it based on data and I guess people buying from you is data, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So that's business. You just have to make sure the business sustain and people are actually purchasing.
Yeah, definitely. And also the fact that, you know, in those moments where, like, even with that story that you just told us, at that point, you could have fully just given up and been like, nah, I'm not even going to pursue this. I'm just going to drop it. Yep. I'm going to do something completely different, right? But it is that, like you said, that stubbornness to keep going, but the flexibility to change your plan
exactly,
if you need to.
Exactly, yeah. So true, that pivoting was when the challenge was turned into an opportunity, but also with the right guidance, I would say, because at that time when you're young, when you're given a grant, right, all you want to do is spread it thin.
Right.
You want to like, oh, but I'm here to survive. But that's not it. Like if you were to real find, there's this term called the lean methodology. The whole idea is to spend fast and cheap.
Right.
So once you get that grant, right, the whole idea is that some of them do it well, is that they blast it out, they spend it immediately in the next 2 to 3 months just to find out, are they wasting their time or not? But for us who just receive money, we're like, oh, here's, like, I'm going to try to sustain and keep it longer, but it's like bleeding slow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sometimes there's this way that said, you know, bleed fast rather than bleed slow.
Yeah, definitely. Right. And I think another point, you know, in running a business where you have to sort of, it's a sort of make or break point as well, is hiring, right? You know, we talked about this before the breaks as well, but the right talent can really make or break a business, especially as you are starting out and you're shaping what you want your culture to look like, right? So for you, you know, what, I guess, like qualities or traits do you look for in the hiring process as well? And how does that help you, you know, overall in the business sense?
Definitely, I think it's the culture itself, within itself, because the KTJ is a social enterprise that empowers women in general, right? So it's already sort of like there's these characteristics of being helpful, caring, you know, something that there's warmth that we want to care for people and their family. So I guess the people that do come aboard, they already have that within them. It's just that how can we even shape it up a little bit more? So I totally agree, because the core team with us now is that they're all very caring people. Like if there was to have one akka that, you know, was fell sick or needed help, I mean, we actually go down to the ground and see what we can do. So we're in between this like NGO and business, right? But so because we're centered right in the middle, it's all about a balance.
And that's only because I think you have a very strong core value as well. You have a very strong idea of exactly the kind of culture that you want to create. And, you know, I think that there are definitely some organizations who, as they're going, they're just like, okay, whoever wants to come can come, you know, and that only comes from the point where you're not even really sure what you're gunning for, right? So to have, I think, to really define your mission and your values as a company is super important in that hiring process.
Right. And I actually have a very curious question, because you mentioned like killing off your first baby, right? Mm-hmm. How did you overcome that failure, quote unquote failure, mm-hmm. on your own in terms of like mentality wise?
I guess you just have to really have thick skin.
The stubbornness is coming into play. Yeah.
But okay, with social media out there, right, it can be very tricky, because it depends how you paint a picture for people to see, right? So like I said, like recognitions could be painted out so nicely and everyone assumes you're successful or you've done something right, but they don't see the ugly side of things. I mean, that's why we're here to share that, because I guess everyone paints a beautiful picture. They make entrepreneurship so exciting. But I guess that's what I also want to share on my platform if I can. Like normally I'll just show my little car like a lorry, the amount of fabrics I have to carry, things that they think we don't go through just because we're the founders. But actually it's not true. We actually hold on way more than we should, because that's what keeps the company going.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, well, it's time for another little break. And after that, we will, of course, continue our conversation with Yap Su Yi, serial entrepreneur, founder and CEO of Community Tukang Jahit. If you would like to get in touch with us, tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurship advice or your journey or your challenges, or if you want to ask any questions. We are on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and we're also on Twitter at BFM Radio. Here is Fly Like an Eagle by the Steve Miller Band here on BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. I am Christine Wong, and I'm joined by
Lily Chai
and also Yap Su Yi, serial entrepreneur, founder and CEO of Community Tukang Jahit. Today we're talking all about, you know, the pitfalls, the challenges of entrepreneurship, what people may not be showing you behind the shiny screens. So if you would like to get in touch with us, share your thoughts on this topic. We're on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and Twitter at BFM Radio. Now, you know, I think you've talked a lot on the show today about, you know, you have mentors and you have people that you refer to as well. But I think more importantly, or not more importantly, but as a tangent to that, how exactly do you find the right mentors in the first place?
I guess it's through the experiences of the bad ones as well. Mm-hmm. and put it this way, you're never going to find just one, right? You can have a few throughout your years, but always get the ones that have done it before. Why look for a mentor who probably hasn't walked the walk, right? Or talked the talk? Like, they can talk, but have they done it? Have they shown you results? So what was very interesting with my mentor that actually soon turned into my partner was because, you know, there was like numbers put down on the table. Like, you know what? If I'm going to help you make this business grow, give me like 6 months to a year. And if I show that results, then we can, you know, joint venture and probably, you know, give me a stake and equity. So that's where we see that exchange. So it's very much a transaction, right? That's a very clear transaction. Whereas out there, when we, you know, when we start young, we're very excited to just go with our friends, like, hey, let's start a business together. Mm-hmm. But there's no real layout, like who takes care of what, and there's no, I guess, commitment tied down. So the minute someone does less, then that's where havoc starts.
Yeah.
So I guess it's very important, like, you know, to start also solid partnerships is to actually have probations. Like, no one does that. But actually, that's one thing that I learned and I felt it was very valuable for me was that probations are a very healthy thing before you get into a solid partnership.
Mm. And so what exactly are the terms of, like, putting a potential partnership on probation?
Well, for me, it was like, okay, let's see this first 3 months. What happens after that? And then if it goes well, let's see the next 3 months. Mm. And then, okay, if after the six months is over, we write down what have we done so far? Has the business grown? Like, have you done your part on what you say you're going to do? And if they see sudden change in, like, someone's interest per se, right? Then the inkling is going to tell you, like, why drag someone into a business that probably doesn't believe in it as much as you do?
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of numbers, right, it is important to set some benchmarks when starting out the venture to, you know, as a way to check your progress and how your business is doing. So what are some basic milestones or KPIs that you use to gauge this kind of numbers?
In terms of monetary?
Whatever helps you, I think. Basically, you know, when you set a goal, right, you can't just, I mean, for example, you can't just be like, I'm going to lose some weight this year. Mm. You know, that's so vague, right? Mm-hmm, so I think there has to be like milestones or numbers some sort of indication that you're on the right track.
I guess for us, during the very beginning, we just wanted to prove a concept, right? Mm-hmm. We were doing, when we pivoted at that point, these tailors could not even sew corporate gifts. We were just sewing clothing, right? So then training had to go on. And then at the same time, while that's going on, we had to find orders. Are corporates going to be interested in our corporate gifts by helping impacting B40 women, right? It was still a question mark back then. Mm. So to me, it's like the lean methodology. Prove it to actually, you know, get the concept right. So we proved it by knocking on doors, getting on corporates to be interested. So the numbers set, I think, can change monthly or even weekly. Mm-hmm. It's based on what you want to see next. Like, for example, right. The short-term goals are, we need like the 5 next corporate to buy from us. If not, we can't even sustain these 50 ladies.
Right.
Right. So that's just what sustains me monthly. Mm-hmm. But for growth, then I'm like, okay, I'm targeting to actually empower 100 women by early next year.
So it also fully depends on the goal that you're going for as well. Are you just trying to maintain? Are you trying to expand more? And how are you trying to expand? And all of that will determine the data points that you use as markers towards that goal.
Correct. And I think there's also this personal thing that I've actually heard someone share with me, something very interesting that I find it very useful, is that they always say humans, right, when we hustle in this world, there's three things we work for: power, recognition, or money. Mm-hmm. But if I think someone left out the fourth one, for me, is to create impact, right? I mean, who doesn't want money, okay? And then if recognition is already there, not there, if it's someone's dream to get recognition, then they work towards that. But when I look back and I see that I have this whole group of ladies that, you know, relies on our orders, mm-hmm. it almost becomes like I said, the first thing, a responsibility that, you know, we really want to create that impact. So for me, that's a goal. Right. So then if I set that goal, the money comes as a given. Because if I can impact them, they earn this sustainable income as well.
Mm. I think the last question that we want to leave you with is that a lot of entrepreneurs speak to struggling, especially during the pandemic, struggling a lot with their mental health. You know, a lot of people talk about burnout. A lot of people talk about, you know, and this is, as you mentioned, a lot of people feel like their startup is their baby. It's all encompassing. It's something that you are so heavily invested in. So what are your thoughts, you know, towards that and sort of taking care of yourself while taking care of your business?
Oh, it really saddens me, to be honest, because during the pandemic, I think quite a lot of my peers, friends, their businesses actually shut down, like solid, fully shut down, that they have to really just probably get something else to do, things like that. And for me, the mental health itself is something that I also struggle with. Like, I think when the pandemic happened, we were all just wondering, oh no, what happens now? I have this whole group of ladies, I have this whole team, and I myself need to, you know, take care, and like, what do I do next? So I think it's this balance. We have no choice but to really wash out the noise, because we can spiral out in depression if we really think very hard about it. So it's the realistic part of letting go. If, let's say, worst case scenario, we couldn't sustain, if I had to hold on any longer, I think my mental health, you know, could be something to be worried about. But, you know, if you can actually just tell yourself that it's a business that can regrow again once everything clears back, then that's how you balance.
And I think also having that community of other business owners to, you know, share those thoughts with and to get that sort of empathy with, because, you know, it's all and good for the consumers to also be sympathetic, but to have that ability to communicate and to share those worries and those fears, I think is also really important.
Definitely. I think having a partner to discuss this business matters with and the worries with, you know, get the bounce off these concerns, and then, you know, then you have each other's backs and things like that, definitely helps. Definitely, I think. And then going back to the community, if they share the struggles with you in a little sense, they're like, you know, don't worry, Sui, it's okay, you know, we can try to sustain a little bit more and then we'll come back stronger. You know, that gives you a bit of encouragement as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes businesses are scared to share like the vulnerable aspects of what's going on with them. And, you know, there were a lot of companies during the pandemic that were very transparent and said, look, we're really struggling.
Yep.
And that's the kind of communication with your community that can maybe actually help to spur you on and to sort of remind you, like, your heart's in the right place and you're on the right track.
Yep.
And that's okay. So I think that is super important as well, to communicate that to your customers and your community, for sure.
And as well as your employees as well, right?
Like, yeah.
They are there to empower you while you empower them. I think that is really powerful as well.
Yeah, and to also ensure, you know, and this goes back wonderfully to the beginning of our conversation when you were talking about how running a business is a responsibility, and it's not just a responsibility to yourself, it's a responsibility to everyone around that. It's your, you know, the people that you're supporting in terms of your personal life. It's your employees, it's your customers, right? So for sure, I think, you know, taking that all into account is really important. But that brings us to the end of today's show. So thank you very much for coming in and sharing all of your thoughts on, like, the dark side of entrepreneurship, I guess. So, of course, we've been speaking to Yap Su Yi, serial entrepreneur, founder and CEO of Community Tukang Jahit. And thank you to those who messaged in now. Do not go anywhere. You have to listen to the Breakfast Grill replay. It's happening after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. MUDA is set to make its major election debut in the upcoming general elections. Despite Undi 18, which will see almost 6 million new young voters being eligible to cast their votes for the first time, the youth-oriented party is facing major challenges. Struggling to find a coalition to partner with, the party has been beset with allegations of being inexperienced and unclear with its goals. So Syed Saddiq, the founder of the party, took up the hot seat this morning to talk about their strategy for GE15 and give his take on the issues that are plaguing the fledgling party. Do give that a listen. That's all happening at after 1 p.m.'s news. But on behalf of myself, Christine Wong, and of course Lily Cha, you've been tuned in to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.